This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour, after a bitter election, how do we overcome deeply personal political divides?
You think Trump is a divider?
Yeah, oh yeah. He's a big promoter of hatred in my eyes.
See, and I don't feel that way at all.
We spend time with one grandmother and granddaughter as they talk through their differences. They also share advice on how to weather the holiday season with family members who have totally different views.
It's not worth dividing a family or ruining a relationship just because we don't agree on something in politics.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
The coming Biden administration now has some big names penciled in to fill some of the most important jobs. That process gathered momentum today, even in the absence of a formal transition. White House correspondent Yamiche Alcindor reports.
Today, the first wave of President-elect Joe Biden's cabinet announcements.
Why'd you go with national security first?
Because it's national security.
The news came from Wilmington, Delaware, where Mr. Biden spent part of the day addressing a virtual U.S. mayor's conference. His picks, Antony Blinken, a former top State Department official as Secretary of State, Jake Sullivan as National Security Advisor, and Linda Thomas-Greenfield as the United Nations Ambassador. And a pair of firsts, Avril Haines for Director of National Intelligence, the first woman to head the intelligence community, and Alejandro Mayorkas to be Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, the first Latino to hold this position. In addition, former Secretary of State John Kerry will serve as special presidential envoy on climate change. And it is widely reported that Janet Yellen, former Federal Reserve Chair, will be Treasury Secretary. She'd be the first woman in that role. The president-elect will formally introduce his picks tomorrow, even as he continues to wait for the transition to formally begin. The House Oversight and Reform Committee insisted today on having Emily Murphy, the head of the General Services Administration, join a briefing tomorrow. Officials want her to explain why she has yet to acknowledge President-elect Biden and free up transition funds. On Sunday, Mr. Biden's choice for White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain, again urged the Trump administration to accept the results and begin the transition.
A record number of Americans rejected the Trump presidency, and since then, Donald Trump's been rejecting democracy. It's corrosive. It's harmful. But as Mitt Romney said, it's not going to change the outcome of what happens here.
Underscoring that point, the Michigan State Board of Canvassers met to certify the state's presidential election results.
We have a duty to certify this election based on the returns. That is very clear. And we are limited to these returns. And I'm not going to argue that we're not.
Meanwhile, the Trump campaign kept pursuing legal challenges, including in Pennsylvania. On Sunday, the campaign filed an appeal after a federal judge sternly rejected their allegations that the state wrongly allowed voters to correct ballots. Meanwhile, within the Republican Party, criticism of the president's efforts to block or overturn the election results is slowly growing. Republican Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania released a statement saying, quote, President Trump has exhausted all plausible legal options to challenge the result of the presidential race in Pennsylvania. Another Republican, Ohio Senator Rob Portman, also spoke out. He called for the transition to begin with full intelligence and pandemic briefings for the Biden team. In a newspaper opinion piece today, he wrote, quote, there is no evidence as of now of any widespread fraud or irregularities that would change the result in any state. President Trump's legal efforts and sweeping unfounded claims of fraud and conspiracy also drew criticism on Sunday from former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
The conduct of the president's legal team has been a national embarrassment. I've been a supporter of the president's. I voted for him twice. But elections have consequences. And we cannot continue to act as if something happened here that didn't happen.
Hours later, the Trump campaign issued a statement saying attorney Sidney Powell is not representing the president. During a news conference last week, she made some of the most inflammatory claims, including that Venezuelan leaders were trying to rig the U.S. election. We are going to.
And Yamiche joins me now. So, Yamiche, as you were reporting, Joe Biden today naming his picks for some of the top jobs in his administration. What more have you learned about how Biden and the president are handling this moment?
Well, President Trump is continuing to deny that his presidency is, in fact, coming to an end. But more and more Republicans are starting to acknowledge that, as we noted in the piece, you're seeing Senator Portman, Senator Toomey, as well as Senator Alexander, all speaking out, Republican senators, not that many of them, but at least a handful now, telling the president that it is time to essentially give up this fight. The president, though, is not willing to do that. In fact, today we saw, of course, Michigan certify its vote, making Joe Biden the official winner, the president-elect Biden the official winner. But the Trump campaign put out a campaign statement just moments after that, saying that it was a procedural move and that, in fact, they are going to continue their fight in that state. The other thing we're seeing from Joe Biden is him rolling out his transition, making these big announcements for Secretary of State, for the United Nations ambassador. This is not only signaling that he is going to continue to move forward, preparing to govern, but he's also making the case that things need to be moving forward. We're now seeing pressure rise and continue to rise on the General Services Administration and the head of that, Emily Murphy. There are sources telling us that she is continuing to feel the pressure, understanding that this is really a mood in Washington that is shifting in the direction of having President-elect Joe Biden get the resources as well as the official sign-off to start the transition. That has not happened yet, but we need to watch that space very closely.
And Yamiche, with regard to the names we heard today from President-elect Biden, people he wants for some of the very senior jobs in his administration, what more do we know about them and the choices?
Well, a lot of these names that President-elect Biden has announced today are, one, a lot of alums from the Obama administration, as well as their people who Joe Biden says reflect America and reflect his commitment to diversity. I want to lock you through two. The first is Alejandro Mayorkas. He is a Cuban-American refugee, came to the United States fleeing political issues in Cuba. I want to read to you a tweet that he wrote. He said, "When I was very young, the United States provided my family and me a place of refuge. Now I have been nominated to the DHS to be the DHS secretary and oversee the protection of all Americans." And we should also note that he oversaw the implementation of DACA, which was creating dreamers and giving them some sort of relief and status here in America if they were brought here as minors. Another thing to note is John Kerry is going to be the special envoy to climate change. That's a big deal because it's a big name showing that Joe Biden, President-elect Biden, is focused specifically on climate change, wanting to elevate that issue as a national security threat.
Both of those areas, which we saw President Trump trying to roll back significantly what happened during the Obama administration. All right, Yamiche Alcindor, thanks so much.